Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
This is Life and Art from FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos. Aisha Nerjaya is the executive chef and partner at two of my favorite restaurants in New York, Shuka and Shuket. And the best way I can characterize Aisha's food and her spirit is to quote a review that called Shuket a Middle Eastern party. It has an open kitchen that runs the length of the restaurant. The music is up. Every dish is a party. It's bursting with flavor. It's piled with herbs. It's surrounded by dips. And Aisha is the ultimate party host. I actually think of Aisha as maybe Dionysus meets Demetra, like the god of pleasure and festivity meets the goddess of the harvest. She knows how to use herbs and spices and fresh produce to create absolute joy. So as the weather warms up and we prepare for spring cooking, I have invited her on to inspire us. She's with me in person in the New York studio. Aisha, hi. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. That is such an introduction. I feel like I have to change the horn on my car to have that. I'm gonna need a copy of that. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
I was going to ask if I got your Greek gods right.
You nailed it. I mic dropped it. I don't even know if they want to hear me anymore.
No, I don't think so.
That was powerful.
Amazing. We have listeners from all over the world. I'm wondering if you could tell them about your restaurants. Like, what kind of food are you cooking? Are you trying to emphasize something in particular?
Sure. I would call it Middle Eastern Mediterranean. I think I really take kind of the respect and the culture of, like, Middle Eastern cuisine mm-hmm. and its simplicity, where it's like olive oil, a few ingredients, and nothing more. But really the seasonal approach that we have here in New York. Mm. So the Green Market is usually where the inspiration starts. And we try to source the best ingredients as possible so we don't have to over-manipulate it.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's what you're getting when you come to the restaurants.
Yeah. That's all true, but it sort of makes the restaurant sound more conventional and orderly than it feels when you're in there. Let's place listeners at Shuket, if you don't mind. How does it feel? Tell me about this concept of the rip and dip that you started.
So I think when you come to the restaurant, you have to kind of submit. You have to look at the menu and say, how does this work? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. I think the whole idea of my philosophy of rip and dip is that everything complements each other. Mm-hmm. So there's no rhyme or reason. You can mm-hmm. order your kebab first. You can get dips later. You can get your dips and only finish them halfway and then have a few vegetables and dip those vegetables in those dips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And rip and dip is all about sharing. It doesn't mean like you have to share with another person because you could kind of share within yourself.
Right.
But that you're building these dishes. I don't know how to explain it.
So you can order, like, a few different types of breads, a
right.
few different dips, a few kebabs, a grilled fish.
Right.
Everything is sort of covered in
herbs
and olive oil and deliciousness and butter. And so once you have everything on your table.
Then you're creating this. You're, like, building your own feast.
Right.
If you will.
Right.
It's the most committed vision with non-committal type of structure of eating. That's yeah. how I can explain it.
Okay, so I am excited to have you on to get people amped up about spring cooking. It's almost 80 degrees here today.
Oh my God. I'm amped about spring. I don't know if you know this, but winter and fall are like pretty hard for me because,
yeah.
you know, the cuisine itself is vibrant, kind of like my personality.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see like all the things, the bounty of the summer
yeah.
and the spring have to bring. So now that we're turning what I like to call like, and this is really the light at the end of the culinary tunnel.
Right.
Where you're kind of like saying thank you, but we'll see you next year to the root vegetables.
Right.
And you get to
done with
exactly.
the sweet potatoes,
you
right.
get to embrace like all of the green stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is when the inspiration starts going from like the incubating of these small ideas and then the dishes just start like flowing out of you.
Yeah. So what are you starting to feel right now? What are you thinking about?
I would say that the ramps mm-hmm. are like the caviar of vegetable. Like wait all year round for it. It's such a short season, but
mm-hmm.
the flavor in anything in the allium family, anything onion,
mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be 100% behind. So spring onions, baby leeks, spring garlic is one of my favorites coming out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Artichokes.
Yeah.
But asparagus is also like near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Asparagus to me is like tomatoes. You should really only eat them when they're in season because
right,
that's when
right.
you're getting, you know, the true essence of what they are.
Yeah. I know that you work so really seasonally.
Right.
There are some vegetables that really only
that I think are like peak. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spring is kind of funny because just like today's 70 degrees, it'll probably be snowing and 50 degrees tomorrow.
Right.
So the first cut of all these vegetables, you get uber excited about it. And then it takes like 4 to 6 weeks for them to kind of get on a cycle that you're getting them.
Yeah.
So I kind of like try to pack in everything that I can. And it gives me a little time to make iterations of it. I always feel at the restaurant when asparagus come, like, for the, some of the chefs that work with me, they're always like, well, why do we have to change asparagus dishes throughout the season?
Right.
I'm like, because you get bored.
Right.
There's so many different things. The asparagus, when they're young, you could blanch and shock them or shave them raw and eat them.
By blanch and shock, you mean?
Boiling water.
Yep.
That's salted.
Yep.
Into an ice bath just to shock it.
Yeah.
Which means that it stops the cooking completely mm-hmm. and really retains its green color.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But as they get thicker or more grown, sometimes you want to grill them.
Right.
Or put them on the plancha or express them in different ways. They can be sliced in salads.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of kind of like always being able to create. Mm. That you don't have to have this one signature dish in the spring, but that as the vegetable evolves, so does the dish.
Do you have any spring rituals? Like the first time you get a ramp,
what do I do?
Yeah.
I put in scrambled eggs.
Really?
That's the first thing I do. I just chop up the bottoms and the tops and I have extra garnish it. And I put, so I think the ramp to egg ratio is 2-to-1 ramps.
Really?
Yeah.
I wanted to, just to give listeners a sense of a dish of yours, one of my, I would say my favorite salad in New York City is the fattoush salad at Shuka. Every time I go to Shuka, I know I should order other things, but I get sort of like drawn to the salad. It's like perfect. It's crunchy and fresh and a little sweet. It has like big pieces of fried halloumi in it. And one of the things that feels very unique to it is that it is covered in herbs. It just feels like Bounty.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about it and how you make it? And
the fattoush kind of was born from traditional fattoush salad. It's always like lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers. Usually radishes and red onion,
mm-hmm.
sometimes sumac, and sometimes lemon juice. What's that famous line? You can't make friends with salad. I like to make friends with salad that I don't have to make. So mm-hmm. if somebody makes me a salad, I'll eat it. But for me to make a salad, it's like a pain in the neck.
Right.
So when I thought about the fattoush and what I wanted to do is I wanted to feel like Bounty, but I also wanted to have this mouthfeel that as you're eating it, it doesn't really feel like a salad. There mm-hmm. are some lettuce,
mm-hmm.
but the surprises of those herbs, cilantro, mint, dill, parsley,
mm-hmm.
that are left whole in the leaves. With the pita that's been toasted. It's a textural delight, that salad.
Yes, it is.
So it's lemon juice, olive oil with a little bit of honey,
mm-hmm.
and then these big fried pieces of delicious halloumi right. that kind of like just sail it over the top.
They're just bubbling like there's a, yeah.
That's exactly how they look. You're right. They look like they got like too close to the sun's surface and they're like burnt, but delicious.
I tried to make your fattoush salad last night in preparation for this, partially or inspired by this conversation we were going to have. And the leaves, they were just too huge. I made them too big. It wasn't really doing what yours did.
But I think if you have that, like if you buy a head of romaine mm-hmm. and you cut it down into thirds or sixths,
yeah.
I think you're okay.
Yeah.
The traditional fattoush salad is really like shredded sometimes.
Right.
And that the thing about the one that we have is that it's chunky, and I think that's what you like about it, too.
Yeah.
So if you get a head of romaine, kind of pick out the small inner leaves, because mm-hmm. those can remain whole. And if you get the outer leaves, just cut them in half and kind of in thirds or fourths.
Yeah,
I think it'd be okay.
It's pretty nuts how, like, just the way that the vegetables are cut in a salad can make a salad good or bad.
It makes a tremendous difference.
Right.
It also makes a tremendous difference in how it eats.
Yes. Okay, so we'll put all of your tips and recommendations in the show notes for listeners. But can I ask you to walk us through another spring-feeling recipe that someone can cook if they're just getting their hands on some exciting vegetables?
I think spring, to me, and simplicity kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So when I think about spring, I'm hanging up my apron of the long cooking, right? Because
yes.
we've just come out of winter with braises and big meats or even like cooking vegetables like heads of cauliflower for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think about things that are quick. So to me, spring is like a good bounty of like seafood.
Mm-hmm.
Shrimp cook really quickly.
Yes.
Scallops cook quickly. Swordfish, depending how you cut it, can cut really quickly. Kebab season is at full effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting preparing for the summer. If I had to walk you through one dish, I would think, you know, I didn't eat shrimp for a long time, and it wasn't on purpose. It was just something that didn't excite me. I felt like it didn't really have flavor,
mm-hmm.
but maybe I didn't give it the right chance. And you have to get the right shrimp.
Right.
If you're getting the farm-raised shrimp, then it's like, you know, everybody says it tastes like chicken. It really has no characteristics.
Right.
But the beauty about shrimp is, A, it takes on marinades really well. It has great mouthfeel. Like, there's a snappiness to them when you're cooking them properly. And three is that they're quick to make.
Right.
You could saute shrimp in 6 minutes. So if you have fresh, clean shrimp in your refrigerator and you come home from work, like, you don't just have to have a salad. Mm-hmm. You can actually make something. I think everybody knows what salsa verde is, or like a chimichurri, right? It's like kind of this herb chopped up condiment that has like some kind of garlic in it. Hopefully there's onion in it, because I can't live without onions, and the herbs and lemon juice. And you kind of use that as one of the layers of your dish. Like, I think it would be great. So one of the things I love to do is when I get shrimp at home, I just put a little bit of white wine, parsley, grated garlic on a microplane, and lemon juice.
Okay.
And I kind of let it sit.
Let it sit with the shrimp and like as a marinade?
Yeah, and a marinade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I put it, while I'm preparing everything else, I kind of have them at room temperature.
Okay.
And then usually I'll do something like, sometimes I'll have like fresh peas on hand, or right now fava beans are really good, and I'll blanch and chuck them really quickly. And maybe some asparagus and cut that up. Mm-hmm. And then literally, I'm trying to think of where I would go with it, but I would take the sauté, as I'm sautéing the shrimp on one side, I'm kind of throwing the blanched and chopped fava beans and asparagus cut up, maybe some spring onions or some red onion if you have it, and all in the same sauté pan. In the same pan.
Wow.
You want to make sure that it has the surface, is like a 12-inch pan, so you have a lot of room, so the shrimp go down on one side. And then as they're sizzling, I would just layer in the fava beans and some of the asparagus, and then maybe make a puree out of that chimichurri that we were making, and then maybe fold that into a little yogurt.
Oh, nice.
And put a little dollops of yogurt on the plate. And then we're ready to, 3 minutes on one side of the shrimp, you flip them on the other, kind of like a big flip like that.
Yeah.
And then finished it maybe with torn dill and some torn mint leaves.
Yeah.
Or even basil would work well. And then just, you kind of arrange it on the plate, like as if you would do a stir fry.
Yeah.
Maybe finish it with a little bit of fresh lemon juice and lemon zest and a little drizzle of good olive oil.
Sounds amazing.
Picture this. You're at a dinner party and you've confused the Mag 7 for 007. You can't remember your bulls from your bears, and somebody talking about their liquid portfolio makes you wish you had a liquid lunch. I'm Claire Barrett, the FT's consumer editor, and in my new 5-Minute Investor mini-series, I'm on a mission to break down financial jargon with experts to make you a better investor, all in the time it takes to make a cup of coffee. Catch the 5-Minute Investor coming soon to Money Clinic.
Are there any, like, creative ways that you can inspire us to use herbs? Like, dill and cilantro. And I mean, you can get them all the time, but they feel particularly fresh.
I'm kind of, like, really excited because I love herbs. And I think, like, if a dish doesn't have an herb in it, then it's not my dish. I think that's one of the things that it kind of points out. And this time of year, I think, like, mint, basil, dill. I think herbs also have seasons.
Right.
Sometimes they're woodier. Sometimes the stems are really soft. And then you're getting flavor from both ends.
Right.
The way that I like to use herbs is sometimes like just as garnish as the finish, but like to chop them up. A lot of people finely chop their herbs. I like them a little rough cut because I feel like you want to taste them. I feel like basil is one thing I don't really like to touch with a knife. Kind of like a torn situation.
Yeah.
And I think like iterations of the herbs, like, if you puree them, they last really long. So if you use that blanch and shock method that we were talking about, and then you puree them and you get like a base, then you could fold it into a lot of different things. You could make herb yogurt.
Right.
Goat cheese.
Whoa.
With herbs. So if you had like asparagus and you grill them, and then you had this herb goat cheese on the bottom, and then you put the asparagus on top. I mean, how delicious
kind of
would that be?
It melts into it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing.
You go a little further and add cheese and nuts and make a pesto. I feel like herbs are just like a building block of flavor. And if you chop them, if you puree them, if you use them whole, like, you're never going to lose.
Right.
It's always going to bring that freshness and brightness to the dish.
I would love to back up a little bit. Your parents are Italian and Indonesian.
Yes.
What did you grow up eating and making in the spring and summer?
I always like to say I grew up on the original set of Chopped, because my parents, my mother is the most amazing cook in the whole world. Half the office we could bring into the house and she could whip up like a 10-course meal. And my dad came here from Indonesia and he got a job at a restaurant. And then he worked on a ship that transported liquid natural gas from America to Asian countries. So he was kind of away for 4 months and home for 4 months. But he had to go through like a culinary school training. Right. So he really knew how to cook global cuisine. Mm. But of course, because he was so far from home, living in Brooklyn, he would cook a lot of Indonesian food. Mm-hmm. So I remember like kind of like waking up, getting ready for school and coming downstairs and seeing fish heads bob like in and out of a big pot. My dad loved soup, any cool. kind of soup. And like fish soup was like one of his things.
Do you have any sort of memories of spring food in your yeah. childhood that you kind of bring to now?
It's so funny that you mentioned that because as we were talking, I was thinking, you know, my mother always had a garden. Mm-hmm. And one thing that she had was lemon thyme. Mm. And I remember she used to make chicken salad with lemon thyme. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that I liked chicken salad. I think it was a dish that she made all the time. Right. And it reminds me of spring because I remember it being like the first herb bush that would come out. Mm-hmm. And recently I just put like an egg salad on the menu at Chouquette, which was so controversial because people were like, this is not a dip. And I'm like, anything is a dip that you can dip your bread in, so relax.
And so that flavor, the lemon thyme, you ended up putting that in your
and my egg salad. Yeah, and then I was as I was eating it, I was like, wow, this tastes familiar. But right. I couldn't, until we started talking about spring, did I remember the memory of that.
Oh, that's so cool. I also love that it's a dip. Yep. Anything's a dip.
Anything is a dip. Anything that you could rock your bread in, that's my thing.
Yeah.
My next restaurant's not going to have any forks and knives. I'm giving it up. It's going to have extra napkins.
How did they, I mean, it sounds like it was really like a global cuisine kind of kitchen that you came from. And then you've created two Mediterranean, Middle Eastern kitchens.
Yeah.
How did it happen? But also how does that sort of kitchen that you grew up in influence your kitchen now?
It's kind of like a lineage. Mm. And I think the way that I used to, like, my dad was very big on, like, flavor profiles and building flavor. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of resonated with me. Like, I'm always thinking about, now more than ever, like, how do I maximize flavor in minimum time? Mm-hmm. But so I think I had, like, really good building blocks.
Yeah.
You know, being, like I said, exposed to the spices, different types of cuisines, mm-hmm. kind of opens your palate at a young age. Like, it wasn't the conversation wasn't about what we would eat. It was what we had, and we did eat it.
Right, right, right.
But that's really kind of how I cook, too.
Right.
A lot of people say, oh, it's very easy to eat at Chouquette if you're a vegan or a vegetarian. I don't really think about that.
That's interesting.
I definitely think about, like, I love dairy. So it's kind of easy. Like, anything with yogurt or halloumi or feta, like, to me makes things better. So I'm kind of conscious of, like, where it is on the menu.
Right.
But when we're creating, I'm just, like, always looking at it and just thinking, like, making sure that we have an array of things
yeah.
that people can have. And I'm happy that the approach to my cooking really reaches a lot of different audiences.
Yeah, for sure. Aisha, thank you so much. My very last question, which I ask a lot of creative people, is just when you feel most creatively fulfilled in the process of
Wow, that's cooking. Like that's a great question because I think I feel the most fulfilled when I feel like I'm around people that like are feeling what I'm putting out there. Mm-hmm. So if I'm at the counter at Chouquette and you see people like kind of eating it and put their head back, or I'm able to create with my team and have them taste it, right. or have their input and maybe being able to integrate that, I think that those are the things these days that are making me feel so most fulfilled.
Amazing. Aisha, this is such a delight.
Thank you so much
for being on the show.
My pleasure.
That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. We have put links to everything mentioned today in the show notes, including where to find Aisha on social media. Also in the show notes are ways to stay in touch with me on email and on Instagram. And finally, a link and a discount code for the US FT Weekend Festival, which is happening in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, May 4th at the Reach at the Kennedy Center. Nancy Pelosi will be there with lots of other guests, and I'll be there, and we'd love to meet you. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and here's my brilliant team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Javinko, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and our global head of audio is Cheryl Rumley. Have a wonderful week, and we'll find each other again on Friday.